My name is Sandra Cho. I'm 49 years old. Today is Halloween, Tuesday, October 31st, 2017. I am at the Atlanta History Center, and I am here with my father, J.H. Cho. Dad?
My name is Juhang Cho. I'm 82 years old, and today is a Tuesday, and October 31st.
2017.
Said 2017, Halloween happened to be. Location, we are in Atlanta History Center, and I'm with my daughter, Sandra.
Okay, Dad, so this is the fifth time we've been here, and when we left off last week, you were in D.C. You had started working at the second hotel there after arriving from Korea. So I'd like to move forward. I'd like to, if you would, tell us how you got to Augusta, Georgia, where I was born.
Well, the before that, I'll make it short, but the hotel, you know, the Willard is a very famous hotel. So I met a lot of important people over there, and I really been very fortunate that they helped me. That sort of paved my way, you know. And the reason I went to Augusta is because, first of all, Mr. Ornstein, the general, the president of the Willard Hotel, passed away, and he was like, you know, the man behind. And after he passed away, there's no reason to stay there. So,
well, let me ask you this. In terms of Mom and Philip was born in Seoul, Korea. So you came to the United States, and it took, what, 3 years before they came here?
2 years.
2 years. And so when you left, Philip was an infant.
Yeah,
8 months old or whatever.
Yeah, 7 months.
And so then it took you 2 years to save enough money to bring them here. How long were they with you in Washington before you moved to Augusta?
Oh, they came to Augusta straight.
Oh, I see. Okay.
Yeah,
How much time did you spend in Washington before you moved to Augusta?
2 years.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And then how did you pick Augusta, Georgia,
well,
of all places?
Yeah, The Augusta, Georgia, I never heard of.
Right.
Augusta, Georgia. But since I left the Willard Hotel, I used to know the millionaire from Greece. He came here, United States, when he was very young and self-made man. And he was selling the peanuts at the Murphy store. I don't know whether we still have Murphy store in the country, but that was like a department store, like Sears. And he was selling peanuts at the entrance of Murphy store. And he made money, and finally he opened up the bank with his portrait on the wall outside. That number one highway in Virginia. And his name is, by the way, Tom Andros. And I met him when I was working at the hotel, and he was impressed of me because his son was didn't work, didn't have a son. So he was impressed of me and fond of me, and he suggested that I should have started the business. You know, even in Korea, I wouldn't know how to start business, but especially in the United States, how can I do any business without any experience? But he said, you could do it because you are hardworking and you know, day and night, try to, you know, keep up. settled down, and he said, I'll help you if you want to do it.
Hmm.
You know, at that time, the McDonald's, McDonald's hamburgers, we drove around the Washington, the street of Washington, Alexandria, Virginia, and we saw the golden arches at night, bright yellow golden arches. I didn't even know what that was. And I did ask him, what is that? He said, that's called McDonald's Hamburger Place. And next day he said, maybe you might want to franchise one of those. So I, first of all, you know, Koreans and the America here quite different, because when somebody is working at McDonald's like that, you, for example, you, if you want to get married, if your father works at McDonald's, you might have trouble to find a man, you know. But over here is different. So he took me to Arlington local McDonald's, and he didn't come inside. He told me just go in, take a look inside the store. And happened to be during the rush hour, I guess lunch hour, people lined up, and I saw. And when I came out, I wasn't quite sure whether I could do it with my pride, you know, that I don't know. I wasn't sure. But he, we talked about, no, you're going to bring your family, so you have to be successful and not just working somewhere. You know, you're not going to be able to.
Work for yourself.
Yeah, work for myself. And so I don't know how much it costs to franchise McDonald's now. I'm sure it's over a million. Mm. But that time was $20,000.
Really? In 1964?
66. $20,000. And the Golden Archer says over 2 million served.
That's right.
Over 2 million served. So I decided to do that. And so I say, send me to Chicago. They have a McDonald's headquarters there. So I went there, and the sort of a train, you know, the management training, how to run the stores. And
how long was the training?
1 month.
Wow. Okay.
One month. And you know, Chicago, there's a hotel called
Well, Palmer. Let me ask you this. You had obviously saved some money.
Right, but I didn't have to spend any money, my own money. He provided all the expense.
Do you recall how much you had saved over the 2 years you worked in D.C.?
Well, I don't remember in dollar amount, but all I know is every paycheck I get, I went straight to the Rick's National Bank, and that's a right next block to the White House, and I just kept deposit, put in the savings account. I didn't spend a single dime.
Do you recall what that paycheck was for, the amount?
That time, paycheck was $70 a week.
Wow. Okay. Yeah.
$70 a week. And, of course, later I got raised because of Mr. CLO, Ornstein. And, but it was started with the 70. But anyway, the McDonald's, Chicago, they said, see, I told you, I was the first one always involved with something as a foreigner. And nobody ever had a McDonald's franchise outside the American citizen. I was the first, very first. And they asked...
You weren't an American citizen by then?
Well, but from other countries.
Right.
Yeah. And they were asking... in fact, I wasn't a citizen. I had a permanent residentship. That was all. And the McDonald's headquarters asked, can he speak English? You know, so the whoever was there said, well, he speaks better than I do.
Yes.
So they sort of approved, you know, and then Mr. Andros paid her $20,000.
Wow.
And they gave me location, one in Augusta, Georgia.
Oh.
And one in Syracuse, New York, whichever I want to go. And, of course, I never been either places. But Mr. Andros suggests that Augusta, Georgia is warm weather, and Syracuse is very cold, so I recommend you go down to Augusta. So he franchised one in Augusta, and he drove me down. We went down to Augusta together. And
where was he from?
He was from Greece, but he lived in Alexandria, Virginia.
Wow, I mean, that's very generous of him.
Well, because he liked me.
His time and
because
money
of,
and
because of his background.
Expertise.
You know, he must have had a very hardship, you know, as he was settling down as he gets older. But he was very successful selling the peanuts, became a millionaire. And now he's a banker. I mean,
how old was he when you met him?
I think he was in his 60s.
Oh, he was older at the time.
He was 60. So without him, you cannot, how can I franchise McDonald's or Baskin Robbins or whatever? How can you do that without capital, you know? So he paid everything and sort of we became partner. And I'm the one run the place, and he lives in Alexandria, Virginia. And by the way, the man ran the place before me, and he didn't do the good job, so they lost a lot of money.
What was the location? Where was it?
There was Augusta 25, Highway 25, South Augusta. And the location was not really a good location. But anyway, at the time, only two McDonald's in Augusta. One across the street from Sears around the medical complex. So that was a good location. But I was kind of outside.
Farther out.
Yeah. So, but we had a tourist come to the from Florida to north, wherever they go, and they, every time they pass by, they stopped.
Right.
Stop by. So they remembered every year. But anyway, I worked hard. You wouldn't believe how hard we worked. 7 day and night. No day off, no vacation, nothing.
How long did you run that?
For 6 years.
6 years. Yeah,
for 6 years. And because I built up the business, and the company wanted to buy back.
Oh, I didn't realize they did that.
Yeah, company wanted to buy back.
Hmm.
And we discussed, you know, and I didn't want to keep doing that because, first of all, the problem is McDonald's policy at that time, no female employees.
Really?
Can you believe that? If any business establishment, the hire only male, you know, they're going to get a lawsuit and all that stuff.
Yeah,
but,
wow.
But no female. So how could you find the male worker during the lunch rush hour? The lunch, during the lunch hour, is the only rush hour. Dinner is only a few, no business. But you have to stay open until 11 at night. But so I had a trouble with hiring the people, employees, which means I have to do a lot of things myself. I was sweating. After lunch hour, my shirt, I could squeeze.
Wow.
Sweat.
Gosh.
But you did well
in the business.
Yeah. Right now is a whole lot easier because everything's a machine, even French fries, ready to put in the fry vat. At the time, you have to slice the russet potato, Idaho potatoes.
Really?
You have to slice it.
Homemade.
Slice and, washed all the starch and bleach it and then finish fry. That French fry you cannot find today. It is so good.
Yes. Well, you know, I still think McDonald's fries are good.
It's all frozen right now. But anyway, so 6 years later, we decided to sell. I forgot how much we sold. Maybe 100,000.
How much did Mr. Andros get of the 100,000?
Well, in the meantime, of course, I got a healthy bonus, you know, and salary. I think I got about $40,000 out of it. $40,000. And then, of course, I saved. And we moved in the bigger house, built the house, you know, nearby. And then what? I can't just stay home. You know, I got to do something. So one day I was passing by the Daniel Village Shopping Center, which is the best shopping center in Augusta.
It was great.
In fact, Mrs. Eisenhower stopped by it. Bob Hope stopped by.
James
after
Brown.
After play the master in the golf tournament. And so over there, Mrs. Sanders, Carl Sanders, the governor, former governor, and, you know, he got the law firm here. Mrs. Sanders, Betty Sanders, franchised the Baskin-Robbins ice cream in that Daniel Village Shopping Center.
Oh, really?
I don't know why she did. They lived in, the Atlanta, but they used to own the, that Duncan Johnson, the Eagleton Court,
mm-hmm.
where I had a lot myself,
right.
You know, later. Best spot, in Augusta. So, Betty Sanders decided to sell that franchise to somebody. Did you know I was a number fourth owner of that store?
Okay.
Each previous three owners, they never showed up the place, just let the teenagers run. So can you imagine the place is filthy? Yet they had a big volume store.
Yes.
And
the movie theater was right there. So
right.
People
theaters
would always come before and after.
Right. It was, they didn't have a yogurt at the time.
Right.
And I was passing by, and I thought maybe have a scoop of ice cream. I didn't even know the name of all the flavors, 31 flavors. I just walked in, opened the door. Couldn't even step in.
Wow, so busy.
The place was packed.
And it was a pretty big store, too.
So, right, so I stepped back, and I'm not going to wait for a scoop of ice cream, you know, how long. And on the way home, we were leaving the Heather Drive, passed by C.C. Johnson's, you know, Park Avenue, nice area. And as you know, we had a nice home. And on the way home, in fact, from C.C. Johnson's house, I thought about maybe I approach that owner and buy that, you know, store. So I checked his background. The man was not an honest person. In fact, I think he was in jail. Whatever the recording deal, he didn't register though anything. But anyway, I checked around, and the Columbus, Georgia, the Mr. Connett Dairy, they were making Baskin Robbins ice cream for Southeastern State, and they deliver it once a week. And Mr. Papel is a local realtor, and I got to know him real well. And Mr. Papel, we discussed about that, and he took me to the Atlanta and started, and then contacted the Mr. Connett in the Columbus, Georgia. Anyway, makes the long story short, I got the store. But that time, the store, you could franchise a store, $35,000, without knowing brand new store or the existing stores, without knowing whether this store is going to be a good store or the terrible like a Western store, you know. And $35,000. But this man, the Daniel Village, the one I like, one is $70,000, twice as much.
Wow.
And the Baskin Robbins franchise, in fact, Druid Hill circled over here, the Baskin Robbins office, franchise, the manager said, no Baskin Robbins ever sold that much. That is really too much, but it's up to you. If you want to buy, if you want to pay that, you know, you could, you know, we'll give you that franchise. And I tried to figure that out. If I sold the house, Augusta, and then moved to Atlanta, there's a store. I went into the Wayuka Road. I went nearby here. The two boys were sitting on the counter, and no customers. Place was filthy, no business. But you got to pay $35,000. And then you have to buy the new house here somewhere and relocate children, school, and everything. So I figured it out. Even if I pay twice as much, $70,000, I think it would be a whole lot better. By then, of course, prominent people in Augusta, they knew who we were, you know? And so I think it was a better deal, just go ahead, pay him $70,000. And I borrowed the difference, $30,000 from the bank, Georgia River Bank. And the chairman of the board, you know, the Charlie Presley, and whom I have been acquainted, and they trusted me. So they gave me money, and we took over the store. And though it was so filthy, I couldn't even sleep that night. And I went out there 4 o'clock in the morning with the vacuum cleaner. Mm. You know, the dipping cabinet have a little compressor, have a grill over there. Grills are all jammed up with the dust.
Right.
So you got to circulate the air. When I saw that, I couldn't sleep that night. So I went out at 4 o'clock in the morning with a vacuum cleaner. I just cleaned up all that thing. And then ever since that store, of course, Dipping Cabinet is just clean, spotless, friendly. And turned out to be the biggest store in the country.
It did sell the most tubs of ice cream. It was a gold mine.
It was.
And it was a great store.
It was a gold mine.
So, well, let me ask you this with respect to Mr. Andros. After you and he sold the McDonald's back to McDonald's, did your relationship end with him? Because I've never heard of him before.
Well, we've been staying in touch, but after a few years later, he passed away.
Oh, he did?
Mm-hmm. After a few years later,
because I've never heard of him before.
Well, we didn't talk about the, how we started McDonald's.
Right.
And so I had a lot of people like him.
Yes,
Dr.
you were very
Bell,
lucky.
You know, and everybody.
You were very lucky.
Yeah, I had Mr. Ornstein and, people like that. They all helped me out. In fact, the $30,000 borrowing from the bank without the collateral, that is really something. Mr. Presley asked me, he told me, I know you're going to pay me back. So
with
in other
interest.
Words, he trust.
Right.
He trust. But just in case, you just buy $30,000 term insurance, term life insurance, in case something happened to me. It's a beneficiary is a Georgia Rural Bank.
Right.
Not your mother or anybody else. So, of course, we paid back. And then, I didn't owe anything. Whatever we make, I could save.
And we had that store, what was it, over 20 years?
18 years.
18 years, mm-hmm. And then you went on to open two more stores.
Well, two more stores in Augusta.
In Augusta. And then we sold those three.
Because of that store was such a successful store. And one of the franchisee, a lot of people wanted to buy, but I sold to Charlie Mize, and then we went down to Hilton Head. Of course, we were very comfortable by then, bought almost $1 million house, Hilton Head, and because I was such a good franchisee, and California, Burbank, California's main office, they knew me, and anywhere I want, I could have a store. So I want to go down to Hilton Head. Hilton Head is a whole island, is my territory. So when they built the shopping center right in the middle of the island, 278 Wexford Shopping Center, Wendy's Hamburger was there, and all the upper-end ladies' stores, and it was a nice shopping center. And I bought my own building rather than pay the rent. So because of island resort, I could charge twice as much per scoop. Because after all, it's a seasonal. McDonald did that, and Wendy did that. Everybody is doing that. Otherwise, wintertime, you're going to be starving. The man bought the store in Augusta. By the way, he was so impressed the way I did. He came to my house, and he bought the house too, as you remember. He bought the house, he bought the stores, and he came down to the Hilton Head, and he wanted to buy back the store. He wanted to buy the building. He wanted to buy the house.
And he bought a car.
Yeah.
Or didn't he?
He bought he just, because he knew how well we kept. So he bought me out. He just followed me. So
when you think of, you know, you're 82 now, and you think of, you know, the first installment of the StoryCorps, we talked about how, you know, you escaped, basically, you know, during the war. So, and when you think about that, and then you think about, you know, your life now, did it turn out much better than you thought? Or did you have any idea of how you wanted it to turn out, other than to be successful and comfortable?
I didn't have any idea how the result's going to be.
I mean, were you able to even think that far ahead, or did you just have to?
But one thing I knew, my grandfather was a really hard worker. I always think about my grandfather. My father was born with a silver spoon in his mouth.
Right. And
that's what you call over here. But my grandfather, on the other hand, he worked so hard. So I always thinking about my grandfather. And if I do everything like what he told me, what he did, what I saw, I knew I would be successful, whatever I do. Would you believe out of several thousand stores throughout the country, I was number one.
Yes.
Number one.
I remember. I remember. It was incredible. I mean, all four of your children worked in that store from a very young age.
And
no such thing as child labor.
Yeah, every year they have a convention, franchisees, and they choose a nice resort, you know, area to get together, like the Orlando, what is it, Walt Disney, Disney World, and then like a Hilton Head. And one time, the Stone Mountain, not Stone Mountain, the, what mountain is that, the south? Pine Mountain. Mr. Galloway owned that, I think, Pine Mountain. We had a convention over there, and at the meeting, the vice president of the Baskin-Robbins came from the California, and he went up the podium, and first thing he said was, I want you all meet the special man. I didn't know who he was talking about. And he said, man from Augusta, Georgia, stand up.
Oh, boy. I'm sure you were kind of caught off guard.
Yeah. So I got up, and everybody, you know, applauded. And he said, this is the one made a store of just the number one volume store. And in fact, too easy to explain, they deliver once a week, depends on the, according to their volume, the owner owned the order the ice cream. And how many tubs? 3 gallons per tubs. And most stores, they just order around 100 tubs a week, some of them even less. Nobody ordered like 150 tubs like that. Guess how many tubs I ordered?
300?
300.
Yeah.
Yet.
That's amazing.
Yet, the time, the next delivery, the truck driver, they have a key, the store, because they go everywhere, so they don't know what time they're going to arrive. So they have the key. And they just stack up in the walk-in freezer. Every the last day of the, day before the delivery, we scraped the tubs and put all in the dipping cabinet and leave the, I tried to save even a penny. Turn off the freezer completely. So overnight it turned off. I don't know how much it saved, but whole year, I'm sure is added up. So the driver, according to the driver, he came in one morning. Freezer was open, door was open. And he thought we'd been robbed.
Yes, somebody came in to steal all our ice cream.
Yeah, no ice cream. And, but I left a note to the driver, please, after you stock up, turn on the switch. And he knows where the switch was. That's how we did. Everybody, they were surprised. they were surprised. So compared to McDonald's, slicing of Idaho potatoes and 500 pounds every morning, this is nothing. I could run that place with one hand.
Right.
Because ice cream's ready. All you need is to take out from the freezer, put it in the dipping cabinet, remove the cover, and then scoop. That's all you do. You don't make ice cream yourself.
Right.
So how easy it is.
Easy, yes, but you worked, and well, you and Mom worked 7 days a week.
I was, of course, but we were young, so. But that's how we did. And, of course, you all went to private schools. We lived in the really nice neighborhood. Ever since, we've been like that. Especially, we were able to move down to Hilton Head. That was a really big step for me. And we were very lucky to found Quality Home. The man built only over $1 million home by the name of Coleman Bell. He built that house. And Hilton Head, Showline, the program, the shows are 4 times a day on TV to tourists. You saw our house is in that Showline program.
Right.
Sort of the landmark, they show, like the Harbor Town. And then, nice homes like mine. Yeah, I was very proud of that time.
Well, we are, at the end of this session. It goes by so quickly, but there is no doubt that you, your ambition, your dedication, your determination, your youth, maybe hearing your grandfather's voice in your head, there's no doubt that all of those, helped you become the success that you are. And I really appreciate it, Dad. I want to thank you so much. So I want to thank you.
I've been very, very fortunate.
Yes, you have been. We all have been. And it's all because of you and Mom.
Yeah, all the nice people helped me, pushed me, start.
You were very fortunate to meet the people you did. But I want to thank you, Dad. Thank you very much.
My pleasure.